It's such a cold day, but yet we have warm hearts, and I'm glad. Amen. There's something that I really have been shared of late with different ones and thinking about a lot, and I wanted to try to share some points about the kingdom of God that I believe we are in right now and has been since the ascension of Christ when the Lord sat down at the right hand of the Father. And to do what? Rule and reign. There's so many things that are taught in today's religious circles that kingdom is out there in the future. If you read the scriptures, many scriptures talk about the kingdom of God at hand. All the parables about the kingdom of God, if they're out there in the future, it makes no sense. The Lord, I think, purposely preached about the kingdom of God. John the Baptist preached about the kingdom of God. And I really believe with all my heart that we miss a great blessing when we don't consider that it's here and available right now. And Revelation 21:22 is a picture of that now available kingdom. So if I were to title what I wanted to share, it would be that we have a now gospel millennial reign of Jesus Christ. It's revealed. It's for us to either believe or reject. We'll read a little passage about, I believe, where God's children rejected it, and then later it was revealed to them, and then they accepted it. And that the kingdom is gathered one day at Jesus' return and delivered to heaven. And there we'll see the Father. So I believe Jesus Christ is victorious. When he was delivered by God the Father at the ninth hour, at roughly 3 p.m., was his first resurrection. He had experienced eternal damnation for 3 hours, and God the Father delivered him. Jesus Christ could not deliver himself, just like we cannot deliver ourselves from our first Adamic state, which is dead in trespasses and sins. So Jesus, being our elder brother and kinsman redeemer, was made like unto us in that God the Father put that wrath on him, fulfilling Isaiah 53 and Psalms 22, such that he would purchase us. And through his finished work, we are redeemed. And one day, as we are born again, then that's our first akin resurrection. And then one day at the second coming, we'll receive the adoption to it. We will receive the bodily resurrection. So Jesus, in the period of 3 days, experienced two deaths, two burials, and two resurrections. But the ascension that occurred at the ninth hour occurred immediately when he said, "It is finished. Father, I commend my soul unto thee," which means that the spirit of the man, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, and the mind of Jesus Christ went to heaven, and his body was corporally died. But it saw no corruption. Only man that ever has been on this earth that's never seen corruption in death. Think about it. We decay almost immediately, but he did not. And he had the ability 3 days later to come back. As the scripture says, "I lay my life down and I can pick it up." And God gave him that, glorified him that ability to do that. Stayed on earth for 40 days. Then he ascended to heaven and to sit at the right hand of the Father to do what? To rule in his now kingdom. So we have the gospel for the last 2,000 years that point to that time. And once we see the continuity and the beauty of how the scriptures are woven together, we can see that this is a continuation of revelation of his love for his children, and that it has an end. It's not open-ended. There's no participation on our part. It is totally grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. So I am so grateful for that. Whenever you read Revelation of the kingdom of God in Luke 17, it says that the kingdom of God is within you. Okay? It says in Romans 14 that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. In Mark 1:14 through 15, John was put in prison. Jesus came in Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So was he preaching something that was not going to happen for 2,000 years? No, he was preaching something that is about to be realized and revealed, and that the church needs to embrace this truth so that we have a manifestation of love toward God. So in Mark 1:14 through 15, again, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Well, what's the gospel? It's a revelation of truth. And if we say, well, the kingdom of God's out there in the future, I think we deny the gospel. And we deny the millennial reign of Christ that he is now ruling in. Our flesh wants to make everything physical. Wants to say, I have a choice. I can participate. Jesus, you just go sit over here for 2,000 years and let us humans determine what's going on. And one day when we really mess it up and about to destroy ourselves, you can come back and stop it. And then you can rule for a physical 1,000-year kingdom. But there has to be multiple resurrections in that scenario. It won't work. And it's so confusing, and it's injustice, I think, that if we have that notion that it's like, we are our own gods. We determine what's going to happen. We tell God what to do. You can't do that. It can't be done. So the kingdom of God, I believe, is either believed or rejected. A kingdom of God requires a king. We have a king. We have a choice to make. Is Jesus Christ our king and Lord of our life or not? Is he in a now kingdom or not? Do our lives manifest the internal kingdom of God through outward works of faith, works which worketh by love? So let's look at one situation, I believe, that kind of illustrates what I'm trying to say. In John 18:33, there at the trial, when Caiaphas said, okay, Pilate, you take over and let's get this man crucified and out of a way. So Jesus appears before Pilate. It says, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should be delivered to the Jews. But now is kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. So you see how this whole narrative of exchange is saying, I am the king. I'm not a physical king of the Jews. I'm not coming here to destroy Rome and all. I'm here to bring in a spiritual kingdom. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Something tells me that Pilate was kind of leaning toward what Jesus was saying. But he didn't have he played politics, and he was afraid of the people. And many of these people that were wanting him to go to trial and following the Pharisees and all, they cried, crucified him. And later on the day of Pentecost, we see some of the same people. At that point, they didn't believe, but later they did believe. So let's go to Acts 2:22 through 42. "You men of Israel, hear these words," Peter speaking, I believe. "Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did in him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Murder begins in the heart. They didn't physically kill him, but they did in their heart. And they wanted the Pharisee, the chief priest and the Pharisees and all to kill him. So in essence, they killed him in their heart. But Jesus said, "No man taketh my life. I lay it down and I have the power to pick it up." So Peter's saying with authority that in your heart, you crucified him and you killed him. Now we're talking about, I believe when he was saying these words, he's talking to children of God. Okay, "whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death." What pains of death? I believe there's two pains of death. The first pain is being separated from God for 3 hours and being experienced the lake of fire coming to him. It says that he saw no corruption and that his soul was not left in hell. Well, when was that? That was during the 3 hours. His soul was not left there to suffer. And God determined to deliver him when he paid the price for the sins of his people. Okay, so that death is a worse death. Physical death meant nothing. If you think about it, once he was glorified and had said, "It is finished, Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit," immediately his body went dead. And immediately he's in heaven with the Father and embracing God the Father like Abraham embraced Isaac after loosening him from the altar. So was there pains of death? Well, what led up to that point was a horrible death, more than could ever be imagined. But I believe the death of being separated from his Father was huge, because it was not possible that he should hold in it. "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." And there's that verse. He was not left in hell. At 3 p.m. or roughly in the ninth hour, roughly 3 p.m., God delivered him from hell. Well, where was hell? It came to him on the tree. I believe the cross is a beautiful example of the vertical perfection of the Son of God and the Son of Man prior to be made sin. When he was made to be sin, it was diametrically opposed to his perfection, because we are the contradiction that he bore. That's a cross. And then he asked us to take up our cross. Well, what are we fighting? Our old nature. So we have within us an old nature that is horizontal and a vertical nature, which is a new man. So we have a cross to bear. Okay? And he said that you're not worthy of me if you don't bear your cross. So we need to take that and adhere to it. "Neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." Like I said, he didn't see corruption in those 3 days. And I believe that internal to Jesus Christ, during the 3 hours of darkness, was the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit was out of him during that time. And the Father was in heaven. And all three of the Trinity participated in the wrath of God. You can't have a perfect Trinity that are all together without including the Son of God. So the Son of God participated in the wrath against the Son of Man, because the Son of Man was now made to be what the Son of God was not. The Son of God, but yet Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Son of Man. Look at us. Don't we have a Son of God in the new man inside of us? Don't we have a Son of Man from our Father, our earthly Father, that is totally diametrically opposed? So we bear a cross internally like Jesus bore in those 3 hours. And here it is that we legally were in him in order to save us, pay the price for redemption, atonement. We had to legally be in him whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So you and I were there. But we don't know. We can't remember it. But we had to be legally in him in order to be redeemed. Therefore, anybody who are not in him is unjust. They're not justified. But we are justified. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou hast made me full of joy with my countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Sit on his throne to rule. Sit on his throne to judge us and judge the unjust, the just and the unjust. And many verses in Revelation talks about a judgment. In Revelation it says, come out of her, my people. When it's talking about the great whore of Babylon, we need to come out of religion, which says you can do something. You can say a prayer. You can participate. That's whoredom. You're trying to mix the things that are pure and wonderful of God with some of your flesh, Adamic nature, and that's not good. So God says to come out of her. So while the people are listening to Peter, there's a stirring going on, and we'll read about that in a second. So let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with him an oath to him, that of the fruit of the loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, which he did 3 days. He was resurrected at 9, and then he was resurrected 3 days later. Do we not have 2 resurrections? Our first is being born again. Our second is at the second coming of God, our Christ coming back to receive his people. So in a period of 43 days, he had those 8 things happen to him. 2 deaths, 2 burials, 2 resurrections, 2 ascensions. We're going to have the same thing to culminate at the second coming of Christ. If we're here when he comes, we don't have a death, physical death and burial. So we missed 2 of the 8. But we, most of us, will experience all 8 that Jesus experienced in a period of from 12 o'clock when he was cut off, death, burial, and 3 p.m., resurrection, ascension, immediately followed by death and burial, and then a resurrection 3 days later, and then an ascension 40 days later. And after that first death, burial, and resurrection, he ascended to heaven. So those 8 things are complete, done by our Savior. He, seeing this, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath raised up, whereof we are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. David has not ascended unto heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. That means they were already born again. They knew that they were hearing gospel preaching. Okay? So in their hearts, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Turn away from this lost service worship. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, which is an evidence of being born again, not causal. Okay? Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Baptism is a, I believe you bore my death. I believe you paid the price for my redemption. And you're saying, I want to follow you in baptism. Just like Jesus was baptized to point to this 3 hours of darkness. Okay, so we lovingly want to follow him. And in that day, same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, in prayer. So finally, gathered. How we gathered? In John 6:35, it says, all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day when he comes back. He's going to gather us. He's going to separate the tares and the wheat from the tares, and there's going to be a judgment of the tares and sentence to the eternal lake of fire, but we do not. We're going to heaven. All right, so in Ephesians 1, it says, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, that second coming means we're adopted, our bodies are resurrected, and we are adopted. So I try to share, and I look at my own life, my body can be used for good or bad, but the bad starts from the old nature. The good starts from the new nature. So our bodies are adoptable, but our old nature isn't. It's going to be annihilated and done away with when we die. And I'm thankful for that. So the Lord says in one of his parables of the wheat and tares, and I'll shorten this, let both grow together into the harvest. So that's what we're looking forward to, is the harvest, which is the end of the gospel kingdom. Millennial reign, and Jesus is coming back again. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then in 1 Corinthians, it says, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God right now is going to be delivered up to God the Father. He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So in many verses in Matthew 13, it talks about the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are his angels. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom. Wait a minute, is it out there in the future or is it now? It is now. And this kingdom age will end, and we will go to the heavenly phase of the kingdom, which is eternity. The Son of God shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So, brethren, I believe that we will be delivered. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power, for he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. So, brethren, those people on that Peter were talking to, they were stirred up. And I believe they heard a gospel message and they responded by following the Lord in believers' baptism. And that's what we should do as well. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for loving us. Father, we thank you for sending your Son to pay the price for our redemption and atonement, and that we have a finished work of Christ to look for, the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you for all your love and blessings. We ask our continuance of the kingdom of God to be preached, and then I believe the end will come. So we want to use all the means by which we can, be it technology or whatever, to spread the good news of the finished work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for sealing us with the Holy Spirit, working in our lives, judging us through, and Jesus on the throne, judging us and helping us to be more like him. Please forgive us for our sins. Please bless those that have been mentioned. Please bless this country, Lord, to repent, to seek truth, justice, and accountability, and our leaders will turn to thee. Please go with the rest of the service and be with Brother Mart as he comes. In Jesus' name, amen.